We are learning about some closure, finally, to a discussion that's been going on in Washington since the Department of Homeland Security has been founded and the Federal Emergency Management Agency was placed inside it several years ago. And that is, should FEMA be broken out of DHS and go back to being its own agency? This was a subject of discussion in hearings last week. One of them was a budget hearing at which Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano appeared, testifying about the FY 2010 budget request for her agency before the House Homeland Security Committee. This hearing was about 2.5 hours long. The subject was not discussed until the very end, the very last question, after all the other members had asked the questions that they wanted to ask. The chairman of the committee, Benny Thompson, had this question for Secretary Napolitano.
Last question for me is, there's been a lot of questions around FEMA acts today, and the issue for this committee is whether or not is your opinion or administration's opinion that FEMA should stay in DHS or should it be taken out? What is your position? What is administration's position? Do you care to comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, the Senate just confirmed the new administrator for FEMA last night, Craig Fugate. So we now have an administrator who has an extensive background in emergency management in Florida. But it is my position, it's the position of the administration, that FEMA should remain within the Department of Homeland Security.
Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, thank you for being generous with your time. Hearings adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And as you could tell from Chairman Thompson there, that was the end of that hearing. And my guest to talk about this chain of events and what is next for FEMA is Stuart Baker, partner in the Washington office of Steptoe and Johnson and former Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Homeland Security. And Mr. Baker, thank you for joining me on the program today.
Glad to be here.
This was an interesting chain of events. Do you think there is any significance to the fact that this issue was dealt with in less than a minute at the end of a two-and-a-half-hour hearing after it's been discussed almost ad nauseum in Washington for the past 6 or 8 years?
I thought that was remarkable, and I, of course, I don't know whether it was choreographed, but if it was worthy of Balanchine. It was really done well at the end of the hearing with the gavel in the chairman's hands, and he used it very quickly. I think he wanted to get that on the record and then get out without a lot of fussing about it. But I think it pretty clearly does put an end to this debate for probably for forever because I really had a problem with FEMA being part of DHS. It was only the Clintonite, James Lee Witt and folks like that who thought that it really should be separated from DHS and who made a very strong case for that proposition and made it a potential division between the parties. Now that the president and the secretary have weighed in on this, I just don't believe Congress is going to muster any enthusiasm for doing a reorganization that isn't welcome from the executive branch.
Now, there are a number of events, not just the way that this was conducted, that struck me as interesting about this. This the hearing that I played the audio clip from took place last Wednesday in the House Homeland Security Committee, late in the afternoon. This hearing wrapped up after 6 o'clock in the evening. It was a 4 o'clock hearing originally. The next morning in the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, the chairman of that committee, James Oberstar, had scheduled a hearing called an independent FEMA, and the Transportation Committee website says the hearing will focus on the Federal Emergency Management Agency and how it has functioned since its placement in the Department of Homeland Security. And when you click on the link to the full summary, it lists the witness the witnesses who were testifying, and the reading of that can be, I think, fairly clearly discerned that Chairman Oberstar has great concerns about the fact that FEMA will stay in the Department of Homeland Security. Anything that you see as far as that equation there?
No, I think that's a longstanding view of that committee, and you can sort of understand it. They have a jurisdiction over FEMA, but not over DHS. And therefore, they'd rather exercise that authority directly than try to influence a department head over whom they don't have direct authorizing authority, except for parts of her domain. So it makes sense to them to have a single stovepipe straight to them from FEMA, and that's why they would institutionally prefer an independent FEMA. And by the same token, Chairman Thompson would prefer to be dealing with a department that has authority over FEMA than one that does not. So on both sides, there was a certain amount of jurisdictional interest being expressed.
Yeah, some of my more cynical sources have called it a preemptive strike by Chairman Thompson about this hearing that was going to be taking place the next day, a kind of a competitive advantage that he had by going first.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. My guess is it was more a matter of making sure that Craig Fugate had been confirmed before anything was said. But yes, I'm sure he would have liked to get this said as early as it could be said. And the fact that it came before the hearing was probably a useful thing from his point of view. But, you know, hearings are not the main event when you're talking about legislation. They're preparation of the battlefield rather than the actual battle.
I want to talk about what this might mean for the future of FEMA after we take a brief break. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, what lay of the land do we see from anything that this might change as far as policy in the short term?
In the short term, not too much will change because, of course, we spent several years trying to integrate FEMA to show that it could be made to function better than it functioned in Katrina by giving it additional resources and support for other parts of the department. And I think the Secretary Napolitano has continued that and will be leaning on it pretty heavily during hurricane season.
All right. My guest is Stuart Baker, partner in the Washington office of Steptoe & Johnson and former Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Homeland Security. We'll talk more about the future of FEMA when we return on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees. NARF wants you to know that laws can change, and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
Here's a Marine Corps Marathon update. The 34th running of the People's Marathon sold out at 30,000 runners in just 2 weeks. And now the focus is on registering participants for the all-new MCM 10K, held the same day as the marathon, Sunday, October 25th. For the first time, the Marine Corps Marathon will cross the Potomac for the National Mall to host the start line of the 6.2-mile 10K race. MCM 10K is presented by Aetna. To register, visit marinemarathon.com.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, talking about the future of FEMA, now that we know for sure that it will stay inside the Department of Homeland Security. My guest is Stuart Baker, a partner in the Washington office of Steptoe & Johnson and former Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Department of Homeland Security. And you said in our first segment, I just want to revisit for a brief moment, Mr. Baker, you don't think that it's likely any time in the future that anybody will even try to advocate to move the agency out?
Well, I'm sure there will be continued advocacy from people who were in the Clinton administration when it was an independent entity. But it's also pretty clear that the secretary wouldn't have said what she said without the backing of the president. Mm-hmm. So it's resolved for this administration. The likelihood that people will want to come back and revisit the question of FEMA's status in some other Democratic administration strikes me as pretty remote. The institution will stand or fall within DHS now.
I'm struck that for all the discussion that this topic has initiated especially since Katrina, but even before that, that this statement by Secretary Napolitano didn't seem to get much attention. It doesn't look like people are really talking about it. It doesn't look like there are some people who don't even know that it happened.
Well, you know, it was an issue that got a lot of prominence because it was sort of part of a narrative that was hostile to President Bush. You know, it allowed you to revisit the problems with Katrina. And so there was a strong interest, a partisan interest, in raising that. And the press wasn't a big enthusiast for the president either. And so talking about it was more fun then. Now it's pretty boring, particularly since what the administration has ended up doing is saying, you know, on the whole, we think it looks pretty good the way it is. It's sort of hard to find a broader storyline than just the organizational question in that decision. But I agree with you. Considering how much talk there was, you would have thought that the announcement would have gotten more play, but for the fact that at 6 o'clock it was getting very late for anybody who was covering that hearing to get it into the papers in a thoughtful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it just missed the news cycle, and there's nothing to keep it alive now that it's basically resolved.
What does this mean for the people who work at FEMA? Will this have any effect on the way that business is conducted on a day-to-day basis there, or will the policies that have been instituted by the new administration and the operations that the career people there have been taken care of, will that pretty much continue in the way it's been going? Does this have any effect on how the people there actually do their jobs long-term?
Maybe a little, but broadly speaking, no. I think that Secretary Napolitano has taken with enthusiasm to the task of being the emergency manager for the department at the cabinet level. She's had the H1N1 emergency to deal with. She had the flooding in the Midwest to deal with, and she's responded to that with the sort of enthusiasm that governors often bring to big administrative tasks. And so she's done it well. She leaned hard on FEMA and other parts of the department to produce the kind of response that she wants. And on the whole, she's looked pretty good doing it. So my guess is that she'll want to continue to do what has worked for her thus far. Inside FEMA, I suspect there were a number of people who were hoping against hope that they'd be back in the cabinet and on their own. What this means is that they're going to need to make their peace with being part of the department. There are plenty of advantages to that in terms of the other help that you get. And now they'll probably be with Craig Fugate coming in. A renewed interest in saying, now how do we fully take advantage of the integration, because that's the only way we're going to be able to increase our resources and our reach.
You mentioned the name of Greg Fugate, who the day before the hearing that we've been talking about, it was confirmed by the Senate last Tuesday, to be exact. His confirmation process and so forth has been maybe the most nonpartisan that I've seen in Washington for quite a while. He was very highly praised at his confirmation hearing, and we featured highlights of that on this program. I've been hard-pressed to find anybody that's got anything bad to say about him at all.
Yeah, I think that's right. In fact, I would like to say that looking across the range of people who were appointed to the department, they have been, by and large, very competent, not partisan, not controversial. Certainly the people I'm most familiar with who filled positions that were responsive to me are very talented and exactly the people I would have hoped had been chosen. Maybe that is Secretary Napolitano's influence. She has been bipartisan in many respects in her own career, but they've done an excellent job of staffing that department.